Welcome back, beauties.
Okay, so we are now at module 3, separating fact from story. And we're going to use a lot of the information that we've uncovered in the last module. So just to take us back there for a minute, we spent some time asking the question, why do I weigh insert current weight? And we talked about the stories of your weight loss and the emotions that have gone unfelt and the practiced thought that has kept you going in great big circles for whatever period of time you've been trying to accomplish weight loss. So today we're going to take those stories, now that we have them identified, and we're going to talk about the ways that they're useful to you. And the ways that they're harmful to you, the way that they are sabotaging the thing that you want most. So, first of all, stories. Everybody has them. If you are human and breathing, you have stories. They are the way that your brain makes sense of the world. If you think back to the stories that you loved as a kid, they taught you about things like love and friendship, about danger and adventure, about family and relationships. And every story has a formula to it. You have characters. So in this case, that's you. You have a setting. That's where the story takes place. So that's going to be anywhere you've been in your life. It has a plot. Those are the details that move you from the beginning to the end. It has some sort of conflict or problem that needs to be solved. And resolution, otherwise known in storybook land as happily ever after. Now, think about all of those pieces in relation to the stories that we talked about that are yours last week. They hold your history. They serve as markers in time for what you did right or wrong, and they can be mined for the lessons and the gifts that you gained by experiencing those actual events. Some fade over time and others remain as vivid as the day that they happened. Some of them you love to tell. Others make you wince when someone else tells them about you at a family gathering. So, I imagine that your storyline goes something like this. Favorite grade school teacher. Mine was Mrs. Anderson. Best Christmas birthday ever. Childhood best friend, mine was Phyllis. That time mom embarrassed me, ask me someday and I'll tell you that story. First boyfriend or girlfriend, first diet you were ever on, prom, graduation, first time you had sex, college, marriage, birth of your kids, divorce, online dating, especially the bad dates, conflict with your mother. Sound familiar? They are the facts and emotions, that's what causes us trouble, that have made us into the person that is sitting here listening to this recording. Notice that there's a mixture of happy and sad stories. So I always wondered, why do we continue to share the painful ones? And what I discovered through this work is that the answer is that that's the way that our brain constructs stories. Your brain is neurologically wired to seek out patterns. When it finds a match, it runs ahead, filling in the details to complete the story. Accuracy is not important. Completeness, a complete story, beginning, middle, end, is all that your brain requires. So to demonstrate this, think about reading a great book. The reason a great book is always so much better than the movie is because your mind is engaged and it is constantly looking for those patterns. And so think about a detective story. As you move through the story, your mind starts to leap ahead. Oh, I think I know who did it. I think I know the twist. I think I know what's going to happen. And it's one of my favorite things about reading. And sometimes you're right, and that gives your brain a jolt of adrenaline, like, yeah, I'm as smart as the author or smarter. Sometimes you're wrong and the author takes a different twist, and even that's kind of exciting because, again, your brain is looking for patterns. It's a perfect demonstration of the way that healthy brains process information. One of my favorite authors and researchers about this process is Brené Brown. And this is the way she describes that storytelling process. Our brains reward us with dopamine when we recognize and complete patterns. Stories are patterns. The brain recognizes the familiar beginning, middle, end structure of a story and rewards us for clearing up the ambiguity. Unfortunately, we don't need to be accurate, just certain. So listen to that last line again. Your brain rewards you for clearing up the ambiguity. So let's go back to the painful stories. Every time you tell one of your painful stories, your brain is attempting to get the answer to why. Why did that happen to me? Why didn't I stand up for myself? Why am I always on the outside looking in? Because our stories happen in the past, there is an absence of real answers. And if we had those answers, it probably would not be satisfying even then. So your brain makes up the answers based on the things that you believe. Okay, so for example, for years after my divorce, I told anybody who would listen about how awful my ex-husband had treated me. And it's true from my perspective that he did some very underhanded, duplicitous things during that space of time. As I would tell the details and spill the story, pardon me, I would begin to feel emotions swell in my body. I would begin to feel unlovable and worthless. I had no answers about how we got to that place. I could feel anger and bitterness swell inside my throat. And I hated him all over again, even though we'd been divorced for more than 20 years by the time I was telling the story. Because I had those angry emotions connected to him, I gave him credit for some things that probably weren't actuality. But because I believed them about him, they definitely became part of my story. Not accurate, but I was pretty certain. The facts of your stories are unchangeable. In this case, it is a fact that I was married to him. It is a fact that I'm divorced from him. It is a fact that we share two children. The rest of the story is made up of my thoughts and the emotions that those thoughts create. And that's where stories get dangerous. They can act as crutches that keep you permanently disabled. So, since your brain is hardwired for story, it's important to learn the skills that allows you to do two things. First, you want to see those valuable gifts and lessons that are happier stories and sometimes the painful stories have for us. That lets us take different action the next time. The second skill you want is to learn how to let go of painful emotion instead of renewing it. So let's focus first on seeing the gifts and lessons. Storytelling is how humans learn and pass on wisdom to others. How many things can you name that you learned from your mom or your sister or your best girlfriend or your boss or your spouse? Stories also help us spread joy and gratitude. They show us ways we are alike and ways we're different. And they let us poke fun at ourselves when we get too serious. They can be used to build community and trust. Even sad stories can reveal gifts. My two grown sons were gifts from that fractured marriage. I learned how to use my voice to ask for what I needed because of the experience that I shared with him. I gained confidence as I figured out how to be a single mom. And I even got some information on what I needed a partner when I got ready to date again. The danger in stories is when you start to over-identify with them, when you think you are your stories. Your past does not predict your future. You get to choose what to believe, but the old stories invite you to continue to believe their messages of failure, worthlessness, hopelessness, sadness, anger, guilt, and shame. And your brain is always listening. Remember, its job is to find evidence that what you believe is true. If all of your external and internal conversations, Okay, so that's another piece. You tell those stories to yourself silently in your head over and over. If all of that is about past stories, guess what your brain is focusing on? The other truth that I want to share with you is that the emotions, any emotions, last only 90 seconds in your brain. Neurological studies have proven that the electrical pulse that's generated by emotion dissipates in 90 seconds. So if we're able to learn that second skill of feeling emotion and letting it go, we are not stuck in that emotion. I can already hear you saying, but wait, if the emotion only lasts 90 seconds, if the physical impulse only lasts 90 seconds, then why is the pain still here 20 years later? Well, that's the next little juicy tidbit, and we'll talk about that in the next recording.